Good morning, Tucson, and welcome back to the 1030 The Voice studio, and welcome back to Tipping Point with me, your host, Zach Yenser. Daily in-depth news and discussion and talk about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. Looking forward to a full week ahead. Boy, we've got a doozy of a week for you. I'm looking forward to it, and I'll share more about that when we continue a little bit further in the show. But just want to let you know that the phone lines are open this full hour, 790-2040. We're getting this hour kicked off, just you and I this morning, as we make sense of the weekend that was and the week that seems to be ahead. And a big week it is. And I think it's a big week wherever you fall on the COVID-19 situation, whether you are concerned or expecting cases to be going up, or you think that opening restaurants and salons and now bars is a bad thing, or whether you are all about it. This week's a big week, and I want to talk with you about it today and just kind of hear from you. And I would love if you start pulling those phones out and give me a call in, because this is the only medium you will interact with on a news basis today where you get to talk back to it. And you're heard. Maybe you talk back to your newspaper or your TV. You probably do. But they don't hear you. We hear you. And I think it's really cool that during this time, radio provides a two-way conversation about the issues that matter the most to us. So 790-2040 is your opportunity to call in at any time, especially during the second and third segments. Here's what I want to hear from you, and I want to get your thoughts. Today, restaurants are opening up in limited capacity, I reviewed the governor's guidelines with a business association on Friday of last week, and they're pretty darn vague, which again, some people love and some people hate, meaning that it's on businesses and these restaurants and retail locations to decide what their limitations and restrictions personally are going to be. And so I'm curious, are you going to go out to restaurants today or this week? Are you going out to get your hair cut? And I'm not pushing an agenda on this show. I don't do that. But on this hour, I just want to know, do you feel uncomfortable? Are you worried about something? What are you worried about? Is this too soon? Are you there? Are you going to be in restaurants today? You feel good about it? I want to talk to you about how you're feeling today. We'll get into that much and more here as we get ready for the week ahead. I also have a brief just idea that is formulating in my head that I want to share as well. Before we get kicked off all with that, I promise the lines are open to call in. You're starting to call in. I want to talk to you. I want to get to you. So let's, before our first break, let's get Kay live and on the air. Kay is on line two. You're live. Thanks for calling in, Kay.
Oh, thanks, Zach. Well, I feel safe, and I think I'm safe when I did the math. As of Friday, there were 131 deaths in Pima County. We have over a million people, so the percentage of deaths is 0.0001 minuscule. And the cases on Friday that I looked up were 1,520. Again, the math shows it's 0.00152 or something percentage. I don't believe that I need to worry, and I'm waiting for the restaurants to open. I see that many have not. I've kind of checked some different places. Mm-hmm. I don't know what they're waiting for because they had some advance notice. But that's what I think. That's what I believe.
Kay, I appreciate your call. And on the math side, I think the math that I've been most carefully watching, and if there's other math that I need to be, and I am looking at other math, by the way, I'm talking to the Tucson listening audience. I've been looking at this pretty carefully. I'm not coming at it with a hard bias in either direction. I think the other math piece that I'm watching maybe most closely, getting to Kay's point, is To a large degree, we made the decision to shut things down the way we did to make sure that we didn't overload our hospital and healthcare system, and that if things spiked in the way that we thought they would, that we could provide care. And I think the number that I've been watching most closely is the number of ICU beds that are available. And thank you, Kay, for calling in and sharing your thoughts. That's what this hour is about. Give us a call in. And if you're not comfortable going out, I want to hear from you, especially of what you're thinking and what you still want to see in the community before we reopen, even though we are today. Keep giving me a call in. The number I'm looking at is the ICU beds available. And as someone else made the point, the ICU beds are kind of that last stop in terms of if you have a really bad case, you're in the ICU bed. Our ICU beds have about 4 to 5x the capacity that we would need before we start to really burden our hospitals. That number has stayed pretty stable over the last number of weeks. Now, it's interesting, when I bring that number up, I've had people tell me, and I don't think it's a bad point at all, it's a point that I hadn't really considered much, is, the hospitals are the last stop, meaning there's a lot of people who are getting sick and are sadly passing away at home, or they're afraid to go to the hospital. I would just say, on as much of a public platform as we have here today, that CARES Act dollars, right, the stimulus that the federal government passed, gives hospitals two backstops. And if I can get to one person who maybe feels like they have a symptom and are afraid to go to the hospital, what the federal government did was basically provide hospitals with a 20% on top of the normal fee, take the terms lightly, they would charge to Medicare patients. Secondly, the CARES Act gives hospitals the funding they need to care for uninsured patients. And so if there's anyone out there that is worried about that and you feel like you need to get checked or you need to check yourself in, go ahead and do that, because there are dollars that have been given to our healthcare system as backstops to make sure that if you are uninsured or if you are on Medicare, that you can get the care that you need. And so, Kay, thank you for that first call. I think it set up really well. That's the number I've been looking at, is we've seen very stable the number of cases that are being, at the most extreme level, are being cared for in our hospitals for the last 2 or 3 weeks. Now, I will say, on the numbers level, we've increased by, I think, 1 or 2 deaths per 100,000 in the last week. And so we'd like to see that number stable. We'd like to see that number going down. It's not incredibly high, but it is increasing. Certainly, we hope that there's not a spike in cases as we start to reopen things up. I would personally still urge, if you are what is considered the vulnerable population, I think broadly that's 55 to 65 plus, or you have a lot of underlying conditions, I would continue to urge you to be cautious about how much you're out and about. That's your personal choice. Not going to tell you what to do, but just to say, while we're figuring out what does this new normal look like, just take caution, because the numbers say that the most cases in Pima County and in Arizona have been 20 to 44 year olds. That's the most cases. Last time I checked, maybe it's like a week or a week and a half ago, we had 10 deaths in that category. The most deaths we're seeing are coming in that vulnerable category, especially those who are in nursing homes. So we're seeing more cases in the younger population, significantly less deaths. So let us know how we can take care of you, take care of yourself. If you're in that 55 to 65 plus population, we're not out of the woods yet. Let's see. Yeah, we'll see where this goes. This is what we're going to talk about throughout the hour. I want to hear from you. Restaurants opening today. Tucson Are you going to go get your hair cut? Are you going to grab a bite to eat inside one of these restaurant locations? How are you going to handle the opportunity to enter some of these places? Or are you a business or an individual that's saying, I'm not going to go or open until June? And many are. And you know what? That's okay. What are you going to do? I want to hear from you. 790-2040. We'll be right back, Tucson. And I want to share a thought with you when I come back about the future forward for Tucson. Don't go away.
CBS News at the top and bottom of every hour. 1030 The Voice. Trusted local news and talk.
What are the community stories that define us? Talking about these stories are what Tipping Point is about and what Storyteller PR, a public relations firm in Tucson, has been doing meaningfully for years in our community. Storyteller PR activates publicity, social media, and event production to establish and strengthen the reputation of Southern Arizona brands and organizations. What story do you need to tell? Visit us at StorytellerPR.com to learn more.
Vantage West Credit Union proudly stands with the communities we serve during these unprecedented and trying times. It's in these moments where strong communities thrive by working together. We are proud to live in a place where we help each other, even in the midst of the most difficult of circumstances. We will emerge more connected and more prosperous than ever before. Vantage West has been here since 1955. We're here now, and we will get through this together. Vantage West Credit Union, federally insured by NCUA.
25 years ago, the University of Arizona took a bold step of acquiring an industrial park in southeastern Pima County and transforming it into a university research park. This year, we celebrate 25 years of success at the UA Tech Park. Whether it's the 20 new startups at the University of Arizona Center for Innovation or the new tech park at the Bridges that just opened up, we're celebrating this anniversary year by telling the stories and ideas of Tech Parks Arizona, moving innovation at the speed of business.
So many of you listening right now are leading a successful and growing business here in Tucson. You know it depends on finding and keeping the right talent. Doing it right can help you stand out and have an edge as a leading employment brand. Wing it, and you might see a great candidate head to a competitor. The Talent Store has helped local Tucson companies like yours win the battle for talent through their recruiting services and consulting. Whether you're looking for a high-level leader, filling a key position, or just want to retain and develop your current team, visit yourtalentstore.com today for a free consultation.
This is The Voice, 1030, Tucson's trusted news and talk.
Tucson, welcome on back to Tipping Point. I'm your host, Zach Yenser. Let's talk about the week ahead, the weekend that was. I wanted to keep my promise in the first segment and get to your calls as soon as they came in. 790-2040 is that phone line. The phone line's open the whole hour. Big week in Tucson today. And again, as I said in the first segment, whether you are comfortable with restaurants and retail reopening the way they have or you are uncomfortable, either way, I think this week is probably a big week to you, whether you are excited or concerned or a combination of both. I just want to hear from you, 790-2040. But there were a couple of intro themes that I wanted to get into right away. First of all, if you are a mom out there, want to say a belated Happy Mother's Day. I hope you had the opportunity to spend time, whether on Zoom or social distancing or in person, with your family this weekend. And I hope it was a refreshing time. I actually said on my Facebook something like, of course, it would take moms to make a day on social media where I saw very little of the C word and lots of beautiful pictures of your moms and the moms in your life. It would take a mom to do that and to make a COVID-19 free day on social media. Moms, thank you for that. It was so nice not to have a deluge of C word related content on my social media. Just lots of beautiful pictures of you moms out there, your moms, your daughters' moms. It was just wonderful. So happy Mother's Day to all of you. All of you out there. We got to spend time, a little bit of time with both of our with both of our moms yesterday. My mom is in the healthcare field, and so we had to social distance the kids just because there's exposure there. It's tough because some of our family's in that position. Some of our family, you know, are self-quarantined and a little bit safer, but we don't often think about the family impacts of this. And I would say don't freak out, but if you do have a vulnerable family member in your family, please be sensitive to them and realize that, again, if you're young and healthy, you'll probably be okay even if you get it. But if you're passing it on to somebody, you're putting a family member at some level of risk. And so just be cautious there. I want to talk about a question that I got over the weekend as it pertains to how I feel about this city and why I'm so focused on its future. I want to share how I answered, and I think it just continues to reiterate why I do this show and why so many of you listen. But let's keep going back to our phone lines as you call in. Ingrid called 790-2040. Ingrid, you're on the air. Thanks for calling.
Oh, yes, my pleasure. Sorry, I didn't hear a whole lot of what you said because there was some music playing in the background.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it was nice, though.
Oh, Gallopy.
Now back to the depressing subject. This business of going into restaurants, it's bad enough to go into a grocery store or into any place where you're going to be handling things and for the store management not to insist that people sanitize their hands before they come in and touch everything, squeeze every tomato, check out every bell pepper,
yep,
touch all the packages of meat, poking at them. Their hands should be clean. Now, I don't know what the rules are on the part of the government. I do know that people are not required to wear masks, but that's insane to say it's okay to go into a facility where all the employees have to suffer behind these things, and you just march along freely, comfortable, and spreading your germs, whatever they are, all over the place, is really insane. And I would like to see that rule changed. And I want to carry that mask business into the restaurant. If the restaurants are going to be open and you're going to eat in the restaurant, have a mask on when you walk into the place, and don't take it off until your order comes to the table. And when you're done dining, put the mask back on and leave the facility. Just spread as little of your germs as possible. I have been going to a McDonald's. You can go in there with your mask. They're wearing masks now,
mm-hmm,
at least where I go. And you can see them flipping the hamburgers and frying the potatoes. You can see them doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very nice. And they're following, yes, all the rules, and it's comfortable and you feel safe. But it would be so nice to know what's going on in other kitchens. When you walk into a store and they tell you all the shopping cart is all clean and all that, yeah, and then the other customers come into the store and glide right past the hand sanitizer, and in some cases you can't even find them,
mm-hmm, is
ridiculous. They're not cleaning their hands. They're dirtying everything.
Right.
Everything they touch, and they're breathing all over the place. And these people who complain that they can't wear a mask because they have COPD, if you've got a bad case of COPD, carry your oxygen supply with you. If we're going to open everything up, do it safely and stop taking special privileges for yourself, mm, and have the government say either this way or that way, and let the stores make their own rules. And I'm sure that they're going to make good rules. That for our president to run around unmasked too is really a puzzlement.
Ingrid.
God. So, thank you.
Ingrid, no, I appreciate it. You bring up some really, really good points. The first being that the governor has not put out a lot of guidelines. And I keep coming back to this. And it is interesting to see the county, the Pima County, say, look, we can't by law preempt the governor. We can't require things. We can encourage things. And I am not at all opposed. I actually like the fact, and I'm putting myself out here a little bit, I like the fact that the governor is allowing businesses to make the right choices for what makes sense for them. To Ingrid's point, it's on businesses and people to make good choices that make people feel confident and comfortable. So please do that. I think what we're going to see in our communities going forward is a needed combination between individual liberty and rights and community good. And I think if it's going to be either or, we're going to lose. We're going to lose if it's either or for a variety of reasons. And maybe I'll do a whole show on that. I actually am in agreement with Ingrid on the mask piece of things. I think that if we are going to say, hey, we want our community to feel comfortable and confident going out, we want more consumers out in the market, we want more people buying goods and services, I think part of that is even if you think it's silly or stupid, consider wearing a mask so that we start creating this community comfortability to get back out there. I wear a mask out and about. I'm not afraid. Like I have little kids. I'm near older people. A lot of COVID cases have been asymptomatic, meaning I don't know that I'm going to have it. And it's not about me. It's not about my health. It's about your health. Wearing a mask. So, you know, my daughter and I had to go get my wife a little thing for Mother's Day. We both wore a mask. We took it off when we got in the car, but it just felt like the right thing to do. To do that. I want to also go to the business side of this is, I think if you're a business listening to this show right now, I think what Ingrid is sharing is what a lot of people who are going to or would patronize your location are going to be feeling as they enter your stores today. Again, my position on this show is less about arguing or not whether this was the right decision to do. We're in this moment, right? The governor said you can go into restaurants. The city and the county can't preempt that or override that. So here we are, right? I'm just a dang pragmatist. Here we are. And so I think that, you know, I've seen restaurant workers not have masks on. That makes me nervous, right? Because this stuff is airborne. That makes me nervous. Wear a mask when you're preparing food. Wear gloves when you're preparing food. I would say to, again, I was talking to a business association over on Friday about how do we reopen well. And some of what I had been hearing and some of the advice I gave is, you know, have that hand sanitizer next to your pin pad for people who swipe their cards and pay you and enter their finger, you know, use their fingers to enter their pin pad. Make sure hand sanitizer stations are out there. Make sure that if you are wait staff or frontline staff, that you are wearing masks and wearing gloves. Do everything you can to give people the confidence that you've thought of everything you can to avoid what is an airborne and surface-based disease. And you know me, if you listen to this show, I'm not scared. I'm not worried, but I am community good cautious. Let's make sure as we open up these restaurants, these retail spaces, that we're not making the problem worse. And that's the question of the next 2 weeks is, was it too soon? Is it going to be a problem? I think it's going to be okay if we take steps to do the right things together that aren't required of us, by the way, right? There's no one that's going to pull you out of a Walmart and say, you should be wearing a mask, right? There's no big brother going to come after you. But consider doing things that make you and your community feel safer. And I think you're going to see a lot of restaurants, for example, that are going to do what Walmart's been doing. And I think they should have the opportunity to do what Walmart's been doing, right? Is track who's in the restaurant. The wait times are going to be a little bit longer. Less people are going to be in. We'll talk all about this the rest of the hour. We're going to go to our break, but this is the stuff that I want to talk through with you, Tucson. A couple of great calls this first part of the hour, 790-2040. Keep them coming. And then I'm going to come back to my vision for Tucson when we come back after the break.
CBS News at the top and bottom of every hour. 1030 The Voice, Tucson's trusted local news and talk.
Over the last couple of weeks, there have been a variety of both state and federal emergency funds set up to help individuals and businesses survive COVID-19. To make sure you have the best opportunity to access these resources and apply for business loans and more, you're encouraged to get your taxes in and to do it with the help of a tax professional. Give Shanae and her team at Simply Bookkeeping and Taxes a call at 520-838-0856 to get started. Tell her you heard it on Tipping Point for 50% off.
How would you like a hand in shaping the future of transportation in Tucson? Well, the city is developing a plan called Move Tucson to identify and prioritize transportation projects over the next 20 years, and we want to hear from you. Head to movetucson.org to share your vision for how to improve Tucson transportation, no matter how you get around. How do you want Tucson to grow? Go to movetucson.org and let us know. Again, that's movetucson.org.
What are the community stories that define us? Talking about these stories are what Tipping Point is about and what Storyteller PR, a public relations firm in Tucson, has been doing meaningfully for years in our community. Storyteller PR activates publicity, social media, and event production to establish and strengthen the reputation of Southern Arizona brands and organizations. What story do you need to tell? Visit us at StorytellerPR.com to learn more. WhyLoveWhereILive.com. It's a brand and movement that began here in Tucson to spark gratitude and celebrate the good things about where we live. Like so many local businesses right now, their physical location at the MSA Annex is dealing with changes to hours and operation, but I'm so proud of how they've pivoted to online sales and a virtual website tour of their brand new space so you can see what they're up to. Go to WhyLoveWhereILive.com right now and buy local to invest in the people that keep our economy going.
Tucson's source for trusted news and talk, 1030, The Voice.
Tucson, welcome on back in. We are talking about the week ahead. Today is a big day, whether, again, I keep saying at the beginning of every segment just to get us back in, if you just joined us. I think that today's a big day for Arizona. Friday was the day when salons and barbers could open. Today is when restaurants can open. Retail was also last Friday in a bigger way, too. It was effectively lobbied as well that bars and breweries can open today, and so they will be. That was originally not the plan, but it was lobbied to, or is advocated to get there, and so bars and breweries will be opening in limited capacity today. And so we're talking about, how do you feel about that? And we've gotten a mix of calls at this point. We've gotten some who are more than ready and feel good about entering our restaurants and retail in person and in the store again. Some who are a little bit more cautious. Where are you at? 790-2040. We're talking about that. I'm sharing my thoughts and more here as we get into the week ahead. By the way, full week today in terms of some guest interviews. And just to wet your whistle, we're going to do a special episode of Tech and Tacos tomorrow, where we talk about a high growth tech or tech enabled startup. This one is actually helping with the crisis that we are in. And so looking forward to that. That'll be all hour. We take a semi-break from the C word and talk about some amazing innovation happening in our region. On Thursday, a full hour with the City of Tucson's Director of Transportation, Diana Alarcon. She's always a really great interview, answers just about every question I and you have thrown at her, and always pretty cool. I'm sorry, I'm not trying to be like a squirrel here, but one thing that I'll be talking with her about is their mobility master plan and feedback that I've gotten. I want to ask her about this feedback I've gotten from people who say, why are you vision planning for the next 20 years when A, you don't know if the money will be there, and B, you should just fix the streets before doing any of that. And I want to ask her about those two pieces of feedback I've heard from you and others on the air and get her thoughts on that. So that's our Thursday show in part. Excited about our Friday show. ASU President Michael Crow will be on the air, and then Devin Underwood with our Workforce Pivots series as we look at how businesses pivot from here going forward now that we can start reopening. And I love her pragmatic view of where the future is and what we as business owners have to be thinking about. So that's our week ahead, Tucson in part. There's other stuff, but those are some of the big highlights. And of course, we'll keep doing what we always do, is talking about our local issues and getting your thoughts on that. So that's the week ahead. So somebody asked me this weekend, why are you so engaged in the community? Why do you do this show? Why do you work with young professionals? What's your why in all of this? And I thought it was a good question. And you always think you know why you're doing what you're doing until someone asks you. And then when you have to respond, you go, oh, well, maybe I'm not as clear on that. I have a good gut hunch, but why do I do what I do? And I thought that the answer that really started to gel for me is really specific to this moment and is a drum that I'm going to be banging. And it's a bit of a 30,000 foot drum, right? It's a bit of bigger picture, but it's the drum I'm banging. And that is that my big why, and if you've been listening to the show for a while, you've heard me say it. I think Tucson is on the verge of having the opportunity to become one of the next great American cities, one of the great American cities in the Southwest. And I don't say that in a Pollyannish way. I say that in a data-driven way. We have all the pieces. And if you've listened to the show over the last few months, to the last year or so, I hope I've done my best to prove that to you, that we have all of the pieces here. And I think that we're at a tipping point. Not our first one, not our last one, but as a community, in the next 5 or 10 years, we will have the opportunity to choose whether or not we will accept that opportunity, whether we will embrace that potential, whether we will take on the opportunity to fulfill everything that we can fulfill. My worry, and this is why I can tell you I'm not Pollyannish, my worry is that over the many, many decades and perhaps even centuries of Tucson's history, but certainly in the past near future, we have failed to step into that potential over and over and over again because we've bought into a series of false choices. We have said that to become a region of economic opportunity for all, we have to become like Phoenix. It's a false choice. We bought into the false choice that that for the young professional or the next generation to thrive in Tucson, that the fifth generation family in the barrios who've lived in this community for decades to centuries have to lose. It's a false choice. It's a false narrative. We bought into the false choice that for us to become an economic and innovation tech hub here in Tucson and Southern Arizona, that we have to give away our brand of being the old Pueblo. It's a false choice. I do what I do. I'm driven to get up every morning because I think that we are on the verge of becoming the next great American city in this country. We have all the pieces. And I'm also driven by the concern that we give away that opportunity because we buy into these choices. And I think it takes voices and people and a momentum of both saying that it's not either one or the other, right? It's not those false choices. It's a both and. We can make the decisions to create economic opportunity for all, to create healthy neighborhoods for all, to create innovation for all. It just takes intention and vision. And I'll talk about the New York Times article that I started reading today about what COVID-19 says about our cities and what we need out of our cities moving forward, and how our cities are these engines of innovation and opportunity if done well, and also these places where things just don't click if there's not that vision. And I think COVID-19 has further shown that Tucson is in that moment, is in that tipping point moment where we can come out of this thing and make some strategic decisions that either set us on a path for success or on a path that leads to same old, same old. And my optimism is always paired by my worry that typically in Tucson, typically in our region, we've settled, that we have failed to accept that we could be more than what we are. And I continue to have that fear. And sometimes it feels like there's very little I can do about it besides just getting behind this mic and continue to say it, is that if you are listening, you could be part of the momentum behind Tucson reaching its full potential. We need people to say, look, I don't want to go back to the way it was before. I don't want to settle for what we had before. I want more. And we often say that wanting more is a bad thing. I think in this case, it's not. I think realizing that we can have more and we want more in this community is the first step. And I think my greatest fear right now is signs that I see that if we get back to just normal after this, we'll have considered that a win in this community. I think we have an opportunity to do economic opportunity better, that we have an opportunity through this to figure out how do we support our business and retail? How do we support that 90% driver of our Arizona income? How do we grow business better in Southern Arizona? How do we do innovation and entrepreneurship better? How do we create healthier neighborhoods, right, that aren't going to be as hit by something like this later down the road? We have an opportunity not to politically reinvent or to, you know, take this opportunity and forward a political agenda, but a real opportunity to do some things better so this doesn't happen down the road. And I just want to keep saying, I don't get the sense that we want to take that on. I get the sense that if we can just get back to normal, we'll be okay with normal. And we've got an opportunity to push past that. And if I was asked, and I was, what drives you? Why do you do this show? Why do you get up every morning? Why are you in the community the way you are? Because I think it's pretty darn cool that I get to be in this community right now where we have that choice, where we have the opportunity to do better and to be a little bit better. And also driven by the fact that there's a strong chance that we won't do that. And that's not the story that I want to be a part of writing. And I don't think a lot of you do as well, which is why you listen to this show. But I just thought I would share that because I think there's this deep sense that there isn't normal to go back to. There is going to be a different reality past COVID-19. Whether you agree with it or not, I'm a pragmatist. The world has changed. It's not going to be the same. And the choices we make now, I think, are going to shape the next 50 years. So let's get it right. By my estimation, as I look around the country, this realization came to me after Friday's show, I think. And so this is the first time I think I'm putting it out on the air. From my research, right? This is not scientific. It's not peer-reviewed. It's just from what I'm seeing around the country, Tucson is 3 to 4 weeks behind shaping our future. Other communities around the country are 3 to 4 weeks ahead of saying, okay, how do we get past May 12th? How do we get past the end of the week? How do we get past things? What does the future look like? I think communities that are asking that question are going to win in this new world. Tucson is not asking that question. They're at least not asking it publicly. And whether it's tourism or economic development or the eventual full reopening, and it will happen someday, if our community is not thinking already about the future, we've lost already. And I'm just letting you know, we're 3 to 4 weeks behind. There is not a cohesive regional thought process strategy around how do we make this region stronger than it ever was, let alone just make it past tomorrow. And that's not to criticize anyone. That's not to say that there's people that don't care or anything like that. I'm not disparaging anyone. In fact, my mind is that how do we call out what it is, and then how do I be a part of what comes next, right? I think disparaging people is a waste of time in the sense it doesn't do anything. Where do we go from here, and how am I a part of that? I'm just telling you, we are super behind. And that's not a winning place to be. So I thought that would be valuable to start out the week. It's Monday. We're getting back into the week together. Give me a call, 790-2040. Agree or disagree with that? Anything to add? Also, restaurants, barbershops, bars, and breweries, it's all open in a very limited way. It's not like it was before. It's being slowly phased in. But if you need a haircut, want a drink, or want to go get dinner, are you going to do those things this week? Or are you someone that's saying, and it's your right to say this, by the way, it's just totally fine, I'm going to stay home through June. I've got dear friends who are open today and dear friends who aren't going to open till June. I've got dear friends who will be in restaurants today and dear friends who won't until July. That's okay. I just want to know what you're thinking. 790-2040. We're going to hit our last break. We'll be back. Give me a call. Let's close this hour out strong, Tucson. Get those phones out. Give me a call. Let's talk. You're on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. We'll be right back.
The issues that matter to you. 1030 The Voice, Tucson's trusted local news and talk.
Vantage West Credit Union proudly stands with the communities we serve during these unprecedented and trying times. It's in these moments where strong communities thrive by working together. We are proud to live in a place where we help each other, even in the midst of the most difficult of circumstances. We will emerge more connected and more prosperous than ever before. Vantage West has been here since 1955. We're here now, and we will get through this together. Vantage West Credit Union, federally insured by NCUA.
25 years ago, the University of Arizona took a bold step of acquiring an industrial park in southeastern Pima County and transforming it into a university research park. This year, we celebrate 25 years of success at the UA Tech Park. Whether it's the 20 new startups at the University of Arizona Center for Innovation or the new tech park at the Bridges that just opened up, we're celebrating this anniversary year by telling the stories and ideas of Tech Parks Arizona, moving innovation at the speed of business.
So many of you listening right now are leading a successful and growing business here in Tucson. You know it depends on finding and keeping the right talent. Doing it right can help you stand out and have an edge as a leading employment brand. Wing it, and you might see a great candidate head to a competitor. The Talent Store has helped local Tucson companies like yours win the battle for talent through their recruiting services and consulting. Whether you're looking for a high-level leader, filling a key position, or just want to retain and develop your current team, visit yourtalentstore.com today for a free consultation. Over the last couple of weeks, there have been a variety of both state and federal emergency funds set up to help individuals and businesses survive COVID-19. To make sure you have the best opportunity to access these resources and apply for business loans and more, you're encouraged to get your taxes in and to do it with the help of a tax professional. Give Shanae and her team at Simply Bookkeeping and Taxes a call at 520-838-0856 to get started. Tell her you heard it on Tipping Point for 50% off.
Trusted local news and talk all day, every day. 1030 The Voice.
Tucson, welcome on back in our last segment of the hour, 9 to 10 every day, in-depth news and conversation about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. Full week ahead, a lot of great guests. Michael Crow on Friday, Tucson's Director of Transportation, Diana Alarcon, on Thursday. Tomorrow is Tech and Tacos. We're going to talk to some of the great technology being developed out of our region. This one in response to COVID-19. Just a great full week. We want to take today and just slide on into the week with you and get your thoughts. It's a big day today with restaurants opening in limited capacity. I'm curious to hear from you. What are you doing? 790-2040. Bars open, breweries open, restaurants open, barbers, shops, and salons are now open. Not all of them. They're not required to open, but they are opening. Are you going to be in them or are you staying away? And I just want to hear from you where you're at on this. 790-2040 is your live line opportunity to give us a call in through the end of the hour here. Who do we have on line two? We have Gloria on line two. If it's the Gloria, I think it is. Gloria, belated happy birthday. How are you?
Hey, thank you. I'm fine. The older I get, the more I appreciate it. I've got a hair appointment on Wednesday, and really, we had a big coast-to-coast Zoom Mother's Day party for my mother's going to be 97, and she's now been on two Zoom casts, and she loves it.
Awesome.
She said, do you know how much you're saving me in airfare by having these Zoom-a-thon? They called it the Zoom-a-thon for her. And she's with the Zoom-a-thon name. She loves it.
Love it.
I have a hair appointment. Honestly, if I could have worn a hat yesterday, I would have, because it's gotten pretty bad. But here's the thing. I had a mani-pedi appointment for May 2nd, and it got canceled because the governor said no, just hair, no nails. The owner of where I go, which is a pretty big place, was in the food industry for a long time. His parents owned restaurants, and he worked with them. He has a degree in business from U of A and an incredible business plan. He's just very, very sharp. very clean place. They've always worn masks, most of them anyway, mm-hmm. even before the COVID thing. And I just know, as sharp as he is, that he would go above and beyond
yep.
keeping his staff. His staff just adore him, by the way. And so do I. I just know they would have followed every regulation and beyond. So why not let businesses do what they can? And if people feel safe, they'll go in. And if they won't, if they don't, they won't. You know, we're grown-ups. It's yeah. it's not like your daughter's picking up her little purse and going to have a mani-pedi, right?
Right.
Your wife might go with her. So come on, give us a little credit here. Give our business people some credit.
Yeah, and Gloria, do you feel that's what the governor is doing as of today? I think bars and breweries were the last thing that were still a question, to my knowledge, and those are going to be open today. Is there anything that should be open that is being restricted at the moment?
Well, I didn't think nail salons could open yet. Am I wrong?
You know what? I'm going to have to double check. I thought they were allowed to reopen like barber shops on Friday, but you're making me check.
Yeah. Check on that, because otherwise, you know, I'm going to be on the horn immediately and say, help. All right. Great job. You know, I went on the weekend. I went and went back to your recorded programs and played some of my favorite ones for my husband, and he really enjoyed them. And I am very careful to keep the commercials on, because it's only fair, right?
Yes.
And I wish there was some way I could support more of your supporters, your financial partners, and I will. Any chance I can, I will. Thanks for doing a great job.
Gloria, thank you. And honestly, it is your listenership and feedback like yours, and I'm talking to you, Tia Gloria, and I think all of Tucson, that that makes this something that I enjoy getting up every day to do. So thank you. Thank you so much. And I just done some quick searching again, because Gloria made me ask. Governor Doug Ducey did allow hair and nail salons to reopen on Friday, again, in a limited way. And though each of those locations are going to have, for the most part, their own say in how they do that, and how many people they welcome in. So, you know, I would call your favorite nail place, Gloria, because like some businesses are not doing it, but it looks like overarching nail salons are reopened again as of Friday. So Tia Gloria might be getting a mani-pedi here soon. but thanks. I wanted to check on that. And I think with those open now, back to Gloria's point, I think all the major industries now have an opportunity to make a decision on reopening, and folks have a decision of whether to go in. It's not terribly scientific, but I actually agree with the governor's breakdown that he got from, I think it was a restaurateur a few weeks ago. Again, not science, but I think just gut hunch that we'll see a 30-40-30 split in terms of customers, you and I, going back to these places of business. I think 30% absolutely won't. 30% will be there today. 40% of the population will be somewhere in between. And what I would say, unsolicited advice, other than I'm behind the mic and you're listening, is I think that if you are somebody that is either a pro Tucson consumer, right? You're someone listening to the show, you love this community, you want to see us thrive, or you are a business owner, I would say realize that 70% of your customer base are going to be either really queasy or unsure, or are just not going to come into your place of business. And so back to one of the callers, you know, even if you think masks are stupid, consider your staff wearing masks. You know, again, no one's really, I mean, there's some guidelines from the governor, but there's a lot of people not telling you what to do. A lot of non-mandates. But just realize that 70% of Tucson is going to be thinking at least twice, if they're not thinking about it at all, about coming to your place of business. And my encouragement, again, I was on with the business association on Friday who asked me to share what I'm hearing and what I think the road to reopening looks like. Let's go out of our way to make our fellow consumers feel confident to come back out. If you're a restaurant or a business, go that extra mile. You know, get that hand sanitizer, consider wearing a mask. Let's be thinking about what our other people's needs are. Because I think, again, the more people that feel confident, and if we can show a track record of safety and public health over the next couple of weeks, that's going to help a lot. If we see over the next couple of weeks what some are saying we'll see, and I personally think we're going to be okay, but there's people who are concerned about a second surge out of this as people leave their homes more and more, it is going to put us back in a position of economic vulnerability. So let's be smart. Let's be safe. Let's think about others through this. No one is requiring you to do any of those. But I think America's story, not to get philosophical, is a mix of individual rights and thinking about community. Right? In our political environment, we've made, well, America's all about individual rights, or America's all about community. False on both sides. It's been a combination of both. People exercising personal privilege and personal liberty while thinking about the greater good and seeking to balance both. And I think we're in a position as a community through this to have to think about both. And that's what America's all about, in my estimation, is figuring out the balance of both. So let's make good individual choices that ensures the common good through all this. Restaurants, retail, salons, bars, breweries, slowly reopened today. Here we go. We'll be here all along the way this week and the coming weeks to talk you through it. As things change, as things improve, we'll be right here with you in a place where you can get on the air and share your thoughts any day and every day. When we come back tomorrow, 9 o'clock, tech and tacos. We think here in Tucson, we should talk as much about our tech and talent as we do our tacos and trails. We live that out tomorrow. And a great week of guests ahead. Hugh Hewitt coming up after me in just a minute. Bill Buckmaster, as always, at noon today with Live and Local Talk. Thanks for listening, Tucson. Take care. Stay healthy. This is Zach Yenser signing out on Tipping Point. See you Tuesday.
KVOI Cortero, AM 1030, the voice of Tucson. Trusted local news and talk. A Bustos Media Station.